Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room. You know I can't help these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel. Guess what, bitches? I'm late again, and I don't give a fuck. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. But I really do have a good reason for being late, and I will get to that later. Next episode, I will be doing a segment of Listen Linda, where you can ask me anything you want or tell me a juicy story. So be sure to email me at therichroompodcast@gmail.com. I'm in a really weird predicament, y'all, and I really don't know what to do about it. So I've kicked up the workups a notch, which unfortunately has seemed to produce some pretty persistent back pain. Honestly, y'all, I can't even attribute it all to working out. If I just sneeze in the wrong position, my back starts to hurt. The perplexing thing to me, though, is that I have never had healthier habits in my life. I'm regularly walking, which is supposed to be good for your back, but I still do feel some pain when I walk. Like, what the fuck, universe? What do you want from me? I thought I was supposed to eat right and have light exercise. Like, I'm taking better care of myself than I ever have before. And I would say I'm in possibly the most physical pain I've ever been in. How the fuck do y'all reconcile that? I don't get it. I'm trying to understand what this back pain means and how I'm supposed to adjust my life or what is the right path. It's frustrating for sure. Like, so fucking frustrating. I feel like I don't have control over my body, and I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing by eating right and exercising, and I just don't know what's going on. And this is new back pain. Like, for many years, I've had back pain in my left shoulder blade. I've been to an orthopedic surgeon. I've been to a chiropractor. I've been to physical therapy. I think I'm going to have to switch up my approach and do something a little unconventional. Okay, so I've been very interested in past lives and reincarnation. I told y'all that a few episodes back. I recently watched a docuseries on Netflix called Surviving Death. It was very interesting. I loved it. I highly recommend it if you are open to it. And I also read this new book. So when I was in sewing class, one of the girls told me about this book that I should read. See, the ladies in my sewing class got real close real quick. It's like we skipped past the small talk and went straight to the juicy center. For some reason, small talk just doesn't work for me, like, ever. I'm usually the weirdo in the group that's like, who wants to talk about reincarnation? But that scares some people, and I understand that. So I usually withhold what I'm thinking in group scenarios, but for some reason, this group of women in this introduction to sewing class are just as weird as me and love to talk about all kinds of weird shit. So one day we were talking about reincarnation and one of the women was like, you should read this book. It's called Many Lives, Many Masters. And she told me that the author actually lives in Miami. I'm always down for a good book, so I ordered it on Amazon. I didn't really know what it was about. The description says, the true story of a prominent psychiatrist, his young patient, and the past life therapy that changed both their lives. Sounds intriguing. Well, even though I got it weeks ago, I forgot to read it. I had very good intentions. Okay, well, the other day, I was having really bad low back pain, and I found that the only position that is kind of comfortable was laying on my yoga mat on my stomach. Well, there isn't too much that can be accomplished while you're laying on a yoga mat on the floor. Can't watch TV, it's too high. I'm like breaking my neck trying to see. Can't really get on the computer because I need my arms to type and use the mouse. I was able though to prop myself up in a comfortable position where I could lay on the mat and also read a book. So I started reading. And honey, I kept reading until like 9 p.m., which is my bedtime. The book is so interesting and just very thought-provoking. I only had 3 chapters left before I went to bed, and I was like, ooh, should I read these last 3 chapters tonight, or should I savor it for the morning? I chose to savor it and finished the book the next morning. So there was this one part at the very end of the book that really struck me. So this whole book is about a patient's experience with hypnosis and past life regression. That means that the patient was able to recall past life experiences while in a trance from hypnosis. The patient went to this psychiatrist for a litany of anxieties and phobias, and through these past life regressions, she began to significantly improve. But she tried traditional psychotherapy for 18 months before without much improvement. It's as if she was carrying the trauma from past lives into this one, which was causing all of her anxieties and phobias. Now, I know not everyone believes in this stuff, but the evidence is pretty overwhelming. So like I said, there was this part towards the end of the book that really got my attention. It said, "To me, validating past life recall is important, but the healing that occurs during the process is even more important. For example, in a dramatic case of pain relief, a woman in her 60s was able to eliminate her severe back pain completely. She had suffered for 17 years from intractable pain from cancer and subsequent treatments for her illness and required daily pain medication. But after remembering a lifetime in ancient Jerusalem, when she had been a man whose back had been broken by Roman soldiers, her back pain disappeared and has never returned. She was able to stop her medicine immediately, and her life was transformed." Probably the line from the book that stuck out the most said something to the effect of, "We are not humans having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." That gave me goosebumps. This is very intriguing to me because I am open to this kind of stuff and read up about it often. So I found that there's this hypnosis place close to me and I set up a consultation. While I'm totally open to it, I'm concerned that I myself won't be able to recall any past lives. Tons of people get help from this kind of therapy, but what if it doesn't work for me, or what if it's not the cause of my pain? The thing about my pain is I just got an MRI and there really isn't anything showing up that would cause this intense of pain. My physical pain is really holding me back right now. So I'm going to explore it and I will keep y'all updated on my journey for pain relief. In the meantime, I purchased a hip brace that seems to be giving me some nice consistent alignment. Although I look like I'm about to deliver some furniture with rooms to go. Got to support the lumbar spine and the sacroiliac joint. I don't know if I said that right. Speaking of pain, my mom, Jeannie Sobel, broke her wrist and had to have surgery. Poor thing was getting gas at Walmart and tripped over the gas hose and broke her damn wrist. She told me later that she went to Walmart to get a few things and that everyone asked her what happened to her wrist. And surprisingly enough, like 4 people said they had done the exact same thing, stepping over a gas pump hose and ended up falling. That's the thing about the South. Even though there are all these issues, people are still really friendly and nice. There's a certain level of Southern hospitality everywhere you go. When you leave your house in the South, there is a 98% chance that someone will strike up a conversation with you, no matter where you are. That is not the case here in Miami. Even though Miami is located in the South, Miami is not the South. Shit, I don't even know if I consider Florida part of the South. Florida could be its own country, I feel. Not only do people really not talk to each other, there is a real lack of spatial awareness in stores that I've only seen since moving to Miami. In the South, people in a store will anticipate your path and get out the way. And I do it too. I feel like it's courteous and responsible to be aware of your surroundings and whether you are blocking someone. But that does not seem to be a concern for people here in Miami. People just position themselves all up and down the aisles without a care in the world. So it's like a freaking obstacle course trying to get through the store. And doesn't it always seem like the shelves are being restocked and blocking the very thing you need to get from the store? I went to go get my hair done the other day by my girl Yomari, and she was telling me about her recent trip to Texas. She and her boyfriend loved how kind and warm the people were in Texas. They went to San Antonio, and apparently the food game there is hot. I thought it was very interesting, though, that she noticed the difference on how people treat you, which can only be explained as Southern hospitality. People here are very nice, do not get me wrong, but there is a difference. And for that reason, I am looking forward to my trip to New Orleans and Mississippi in the next few weeks. So dang, so sorry to Gigi who broke her wrist. Y'all please send her some happy, healing thoughts. Damn, a gas pump hose. You know, I have my own story with a gas pump hose, although it wasn't me who got injured. Okay, so I told y'all how I would come home on the weekends from college to see my beautiful baby girl. Damn, she was like only 3 or 4 when I went to college. Anyways, so I was going to school full time, but also driving 4 hours each way on the weekends to see my cutie. So I was leaving Gulfport, Mississippi on a Sunday to go back to school in Starkville, and I stopped at my usual Exxon gas station. I knew I needed to fill up before starting my drive, so I started pumping gas and went inside the gas station. I can't remember what it was for, but it was probably to get a little snack. I feel like that could be my rap name, though. Lil Snack. I like that, actually. So I checked out inside, and I come back to the car, and without even thinking, I get in the driver's seat and just start driving off. I was like a quarter of the mile down the road when I see something flapping back and forth outside my car. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And then I gasped because I remember that I was actually pumping gas. I see the pump still in my gas tank and the hose is just flailing all over the place. And then all of a sudden, the nozzle falls out of the gas tank and on the side of the road. I was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Oh my God. I thought, should I go back to the gas station? Is there now a geyser of liquid gas spraying all over my go-to Exxon station? Did the gas station blow up? I pulled over and closed the gas tank to my car and came to the conclusion that everything was probably fine and that this can't be the first time that someone has driven away without realizing that the gas nozzle and the hose was still in the vehicle. When I got back to school that evening, I checked the local news in Gulfport several times just to make sure that there wasn't some major event that took place after my little whoopsie daisies. That was a stressful 4-hour car ride back to school. You know, I told my 18-year-old self that I would take that one to the grave, but y'all ain't gonna tell anybody, right? Thought so. You know, Mississippi gets a really bad rap, and that's mainly from politics and a government standpoint. But I know, and I have met some first-class people in Mississippi. Mississippi often gets characterized as a racist place where people are uneducated, and there's definitely some of that present. But for the most part, the people I know are progressive, brilliant, and want to bring Mississippi into the future. So shout out to all of my fantastic Mississippi peeps. I love y'all. Okay, let's talk about Summer House. So West Conrad Wilson is the breakout star of this season of Summer House. I know y'all have heard me talk about West Wilson. He's one of the 2 new cast members on Summer House this season. If you've been watching this season, then you know that he and Sierra hit it off from the first weekend, and they've kind of been inseparable since. Wes is smart. He realized that if he made dinner and breakfast right when he got there, he took on that responsibility and took that off everyone else, that he was going to give a good impression to the house. But he's really given me a good impression. Not that he cares. And Sierra doesn't have to worry. I am not trying to steal her man. But I've certainly developed a deep appreciation for West Conrad Wilson. And I also think that straight men should gather around, take a seat, and take a page out of West's book. Because y'all could learn a thing or two. So I have developed the 5 reasons why West Wilson is the number 1 guy on Bravo. Number 1, he knows himself and he's completely comfortable with himself. He's not worried about all the typical toxic masculinity hang-ups. I mean, he let Sierra put glitter in his mustache. West has his own style and, dare I say, swag. He flaunts it proudly. It's pretty attractive when a guy is comfortable enough with himself to try and bust a look. I feel like it has become totally acceptable for straight men to look like absolute shit, wearing the same damn shirt and shorts or pants combo over and over again with fucking flip-flop sandals. Where is the style? Where is the swag? Now, I'm obviously not talking about every guy, but damn, y'all have the most boring outfits. I mean, a suit is a suit. It can look better or worse based on the fit, but geez, could y'all step it up a bit? Like fancy a pocket square or maybe a brooch. Ooh, damn, you know what would be really cool for menswear? It would be like an embellished suit. I'm gonna take a note of that. West even did a full fucking split at the 4th of July party in red sequined disco pants, like a real man. If the men out there are ever looking for outfit inspiration, Google Coleman Domingo red carpet looks and take fucking notes. There's a particular outfit that comes to mind where he's donning a gold suit with a very light blue undershirt. It's gold, but it's not metallic gold. Then he is wearing metallic gold boots, which you would think would clash with the non-metallic gold suit, but it doesn't. Then, draped over his shoulders is this stunning metallic bronze coat that has all this intricate work, creating like a fantastic crushed texture look. Bravo, sir. Bravo. That outfit says to me, I am comfortable with who I am, and I am not afraid to show it. It also just exudes swag. All right, number two. He seems genuinely interested in Sierra from the first day they meet. Even Sierra pointed it out, saying that all these dates she has in the city end up talking about themselves the whole time. Not Wes Conrad Wilson. He and Sierra bond immediately over cooking quesadillas. And the whole time, he's just asking her questions about her life. You would think it's obvious that you should ask a woman about herself, but most dudes just want to talk about themselves. Or they will ask you a question, you give an answer, and they cut you off to direct the conversation back to them. Oh my gosh, I used to be so bad at cutting other people off. I might still do it, but I've gotten so much better. This is totally off topic, but here we go. Be careful of the habits you pick up from your manager at work. My very first boss out of law school cut everyone off. I mean everyone. And I picked up that bad habit. Now, I'm not going to lie. It was effective in the litigation world, but you don't really learn how to turn that off and you end up doing it with everyone in your life. Also, it's just a dick move to cut someone off. Another thing, I think people start cutting you off when you start making a good point. Like, oh, you're cutting me off? Did I hit a nerve? Now, when I cut someone off, I'm at least usually aware of it and I apologize. Okay, back to Wes Conrad Wilson. He also asked Sierra what her outfit was for the first weekend party. And he also didn't waste any time asking Sierra out on a date after the second weekend of heavy flirting. He even hyped Sierra up to other people by telling them that she's hiked over half of the national parks in the United States. Number three. He's not grossed out by normal human shit. His mom is an OBGYN. His dad is a cattle rancher. A bunch of baby birthing bitches there. And he said on the show that he was a grade 3 vaginal tear when he was born. Who knows that? Like, some men can't even be present when a woman is giving birth. It's honestly unfathomable, but in all honesty, our society has conditioned us to act like women don't have periods, don't poop, don't fart. Like, women have their period every month, but we act like we don't have periods. Has anyone out there worked in an office and seen a woman openly carrying a tampon or other feminine product? That should be the new open carry law, license to tampon. But seriously, it's like tampons are taboo, and I don't get it. I feel like it's going to change, though. So even though he seems older because he appears very mature, West is only 28 years old. I feel like there will be a shift as time progresses, and West gives me hope. Number four, he's not rushing Sierra to have sex. This is important because Sierra has made it known that she is not going to sleep with someone before knowing how they feel about her. On the most recent episode, West expressed his frustrations with the amount of time it's been since they've been hanging out and they hadn't slept together yet. But Amanda made a great fucking point and said, well, how many dates have you gone on? And he said, two. Okay, well, maybe you need to date her a little more. I'm not worried about Wes Conrad Wilson because he is emotionally intelligent and self-reflective. Also, Wes' mom posted pictures on her social media of Sierra and Wes in Missouri riding horses. So it looks like Wes took Sierra home to meet the parents, which tells me Wes stepped up his game. Number five, Wes is a lover, not a fighter. He is friends with literally everyone in the house, even Carl and Lindsay. In fact, that's how Wes got into the group, through Carl and Lindsay. Also, not only does he not compete with Jesse Solomon for attention, him and Jesse are best buds. We even saw a preview of Wes comforting Jesse, who was emotional and upset about what I'm guessing is something to do with cancer, which is very sad, and I hope he's okay. In conclusion, Wes Wilson is a breath of fresh air after the long line of disappointments that we've seen over the years. Good for you, Sierra. Good for you. Oh my God, so let me tell you what sealed the fucking deal for me regarding Wes. Okay, so it was either this episode or the last episode where Wes goes with his aunt to a park in New York City and they set up some chairs and have a little picnic with margaritas, which sounds amazing, honestly. And he and his aunt are talking about Wes' love life and how he's never really been humbled before because he was the big man on campus and high school and college. And then the show cuts to all these photos of Wes playing football in college. He did not give me jock vibes at all. And let me just say, those football pants don't lie. Wes Conrad is the definition of Jiffy cornbread, booty cornfed. West is such an upgrade over fucking Austin Kroll. When I saw Austin make out with Lindsay in front of Sierra without any explanation or apology or acknowledgement, I was utterly disgusted. I know Austin has childhood trauma, who the fuck doesn't, but he's clearly not worked through that and continues to make douchebag decisions. Austin Kroll gives me the ick. Okay, so let's talk about the rest of the shit that's been going on this season on Summer House. So Amanda and Kyle are married now, and they keep talking about having kids. Kyle feels like he takes care of most of the stuff in their life and wants a more 50-50 partnership and is afraid that if they have kids, all the logistics are going to fall on him. Okay, that is fine that he feels that way, but I kept screaming at the TV when I was watching, "What do you mean specifically?" Now, I get that they are on a show and they don't want to air all of their stuff, but like, what do you want Amanda to take off your plate specifically? Because he's not really saying anything. He's just saying a bunch of bullshit without saying anything. I like Kyle and Amanda, and I have hope for them, but they do not seem to be on the same page on the show right now. I have hope for Kyle as an individual as well. I'll be dead honest. The reason I wasn't the least bit interested in watching Summer House over the years was mainly because of Kyle. I first saw Kyle in the Vanderpump Rules Summer House crossover that happened like years ago when those two twins were on it. I also didn't care for them. Anyways, Stassi and her friends went to Montauk and ended up going to the Summer House. Well, Kyle was obviously single at the time and was in the hot tub with Stassi, who was also single. And Stassi was wearing this really cute, high-neck, white one-piece bathing suit. And Kyle was wasted and slurring his words, which is just so not attractive. And he says, "Hey, you got a turtleneck like Steve Jobs." Stassi was understandably given the ick, and so was I. Okay, I'm realizing I've used the ick twice now, and everyone may not know what the ick is. The ick is a slang term used to describe a feeling of disgust that arises towards someone after a specific, often trivial behavior. And it's usually someone that's like a love interest. That comment by Kyle gave me the ick. Just like Austin Kroll generally gives me the ick. I honestly didn't even like Kyle until he started dating Amanda. Kyle shares some qualities with the number one guy, Wes Conrad Wilson. Kyle is comfortable with himself as well. For example, Kyle is not afraid to own that he has a small dick. He owns it. And I mean, what's the alternative? Be embarrassed and ashamed? It's your body. You can't help it. So own your little dick, Kyle. That level of comfortability and confidence gives big dick energy. Another thing that Kyle really impressed me with was the way that he handled being made a flower boy in Carl's wedding. He didn't even show that he was upset. He just said he would do whatever he needed to do for Carl's wedding, even though it was such an obvious slap in the face and everyone was asking him about it. Y'all, I have never heard of anyone having grown men as flower boys, let alone someone who really should be a groomsman. I mean, Carl fucking officiated Kyle's wedding and told Carl that he was also a co-best man. To go from that to Carl making Kyle a fucking flower boy is a slap in the face. Carl said on the show that Lindsay did not want Kyle to be a groomsman, but that she never explicitly said so. That doesn't really make a lot of sense, Carl. And he said, if it was up to me, then Kyle would have been a groomsman. Carl, it's your call. It's a groomsman. I hope this is addressed at the reunion because it's kind of bullshit and it's kind of Carl not taking any accountability for being a fucking pussy. Obviously, the wedding never happened. Carl and Lindsay are no longer together, and quite frankly, based on their Instagrams, they both seem to be doing much better. Kyle really has some fucking balls, though, coming home at 4 a.m. the next night after Amanda got so upset about you going out until 4 a.m. the night before. I mean, that's disrespect layered over disrespect. And then the next morning, he asks Amanda if she's gonna drive to the city. No, the fuck I'm not, you fucking dick. You better take a nap. Like I said, I have hope for Kyle and Amanda. And also, if Instagram is any indicator, they have happily been on vacation, just the two of them, in Europe. And they seem great. I am eager to see the reunion. I mean, this is unprecedented. Where we see the couple go from friends, to dating, to engaged to be married, to splitting up, just before the wedding. The preview this week is Carl talking to his mom, and I think her husband or some other relative, and he's a preacher who's married lots of couples before. But he said he would not marry Carl and Lindsay based on the state of their relationship. Yikes. So last year when the shit went down on Vanderpump Rules, I thought to myself, there is no way we can get better TV than this. That felt like a once in a decade kind of thing. Well, Summer House said, hold my beer, because watching the evolution of Carl and Lindsay's relationship has been one of the most entrancing things to watch. And now we're going to see the split on TV. Like, on TV, we will see it. Like, Lindsay Hubbard said in the press that she believed that Carl called producers beforehand to tell them to film the breakup with Lindsay. But a little investigation confirmed that the producers wanted to keep filming because Carl and Lindsay apparently had a blow-up fight on the last day of filming. So producers wanted to get more footage of them reconciling afterwards in order to help the show move forward. And apparently, that's when Carl calls it. Based on what we're seeing this season, these two splitting was in everyone's best interest. I mean, just this last episode, Lindsay and Carl were talking about Carl working with Loverboy to promote and sell the non-alcoholic beverage that Loverboy produced. First of all, he was scared to even tell Lindsay about the opportunity because she obviously doesn't care for Kyle, e.g., she made Kyle a flower boy. Not telling your partner about a job opportunity is a major red flag. Your partner should be your sounding board. The first person you go to, not someone you're terrified of. So they are sitting there talking about the opportunity and she's just like, you know, you want to know what really turns me on? When my man is like crushing life. And then Carl goes, you don't think I'm crushing life? And Lindsay says, no. I was floored when she said that, but I also respected her honesty. Carl, bro, end it right there. This is not a healthy relationship. You can totally tell that the interviews were taken after Carl and Lindsay split. They are both like talking shit about each other, and I don't really get that. Y'all be careful how you talk about your exes. You picked them. That's how I feel about Ariana and Vanderpump talking so much shit. Like, bitch, you were with him for 10 years. I wonder if she's seeing a therapist. I'm also really curious to see what happens next year with the Summer House. Quite frankly, I think Lindsay and Carl are thirsty enough to actually both be in the Summer House together. And then it will just be like Ariana and her ex living together. Oh, geez, we will see. Have y'all noticed that the couples on some of these Bravo shows seem to be getting relationship coaches over therapy? Like, Kyle and Amanda got a relationship coach, and so did Jesse and Michelle on The Valley. I wonder if people have, like, a mental block against therapy, but everyone is down for a relationship coach. Interesting. Listen, Kyle Cook has his faults, but his snack game is inspired. Kyle gives zero fucks about how he looks when he's late night snacking. I very much identify with Kyle's snacking style. He gets a bite here, a bite there, and then sometimes he throws caution to the wind and goes on a full-blown binge, not giving one fuck about what he looks like. He knows there's cameras watching him. He doesn't care. Nothing will get in the way of his late night snacking. Nothing. Okay, couple more thoughts on Summer House. Danielle with bangs is gorgeous. Although it was kind of a dick move to go after balloon guy Joe when you knew Gabby, your friend, had an interest. Here's the thing. The reason balloon guy Joe is even here is because Lindsay wants to sleep with him. That's the real reason, but she's engaged and she can't, so she lives vicariously through her friends. So Danielle ends up meeting him first, which is no big deal. But then later at the party, Gabby says that she's interested in him, and then Danielle is like, hell no, bitch, get out of my way. I've laid this groundwork. Like, how fucking rude to do to your friend. Danielle has been being her sex-positive self all over the place, and good for her, she should, but it's unusual for Gabby to be into somebody. So why the hell wouldn't you just bow the fuck out for the sake of your friendship? You're not going to start a relationship with Balloon Guy Joe. You're not going to be the queen of his balloon empire. Let your girl have this one. You know, now that the wedding was called off, I wonder if Lindsay fucked Balloon Guy Joe. I bet she did. Or I bet she will next season. Okay, moving on. Okay, so The Valley is really good. Like, better than I was expecting. Janet is my type of a bitch. Looking up how much everyone paid for their houses and about how much they pay in property taxes, you can 100% tell that she is married to an attorney because attorneys have to use public resources to find out this kind of information all the time. But it's actually available to the public, so really anyone can go look it up. That's a little hot tip in case you're feeling nosy. Nia is like Rachel Levis in another dimension where Rachel becomes Miss USA. Like, they really kind of remind me of each other, don't y'all think? So on this episode, the ladies all go to Malibu. Well, the ladies and Zach. And then the husbands have a pool party, I believe at Jax's house. Jax Taylor is not winning any husband awards this season, is he? So he tells Brittany when she's going on a girls' night to get drunk and have fun with the girls, and then he gets upset because when she comes home the next day, she's feeling a little queasy. And then he berates her and tells her that she's not acting like a mom. Sir, who the fuck do you think you are? No, sir, this is not acceptable. Brittany being sick after responsibly letting loose with her friends has no bearing on her ability to be a mom. And how about you, Jax? Act like a fucking partner. Oh my God, when Jason warned Jax about not eating burgers with flies on them because he could get sick, Jax says, I'll just have my wife take care of me. I could have reached through that TV and slapped his big ass face. So there's a little update on the Jax-Brittany situation. So it was reported that Brittany and Jax separated. Well, now it looks like they both unfollowed each other on social media after reports of Jax getting romantic with his publicist, Lori Krebs. And actually, Lori was Brittany's publicist, but has since been fired. And, you know, the social media streets showed that Lori and Brittany took a picture together at Watch What Happens Live back in the beginning of April. So something has definitely gone down. Social media streets are also saying that Jax is with Lori in Canada now with the Toms on some kind of trip. So this doesn't look good. And if Jax is listening, he can rot in hell. That was a little Britney impression. We learned a little bit more about Jesse and Michelle too. They have since filed for divorce, but on the show, they are still together. So Michelle is apparently very good friends with a famous director that she met at the Chateau Marmont, and her condo is very close to the Chateau Marmont. Am I saying that right? Chateau Marmont. All the guys end up talking about it at the pool party, but Bravo bleeped out the audio and also blurred out everyone's mouth so that people can't lip read who this famous director is. Well, you know I had to take it to Reddit to find out. I mean, there are only so many mega famous directors, right? So according to my best friend Reddit, the famous director that Michelle is close friends with is allegedly Quentin Tarantino. I said allegedly. Allegedly keeps you from getting sued. I must be honest. I went back to that part of the episode many times to try and make out what the guys were saying based upon their jaw movement. And it looks like they're saying Tarantino. Is that his real name? It seems awfully made up. Okay, wait, let me look this up. Oh, wow. Okay, so his full name is Quentin Jerome Tarantino. Jerome! That's a Lizzo song. Kristen Doty's claim that she is an empath is one of the funniest things I've ever seen on TV. And Bravo did not skip a beat cutting to a montage of her being such a dick to all of these people, including the iconic moment where Kristen told Diana at Sur to suck a dick. Nia discussing her postpartum and telling her husband that she is not okay was very courageous and very brave. Also, her husband Daniel was very supportive about it, although I did not feel like he should have called her to come back from the girls' trip because the AC was out. I get that it's hard to take care of babies, but call a friend. It's one night. It will be okay. It's not like she could make the AC come back on. You'll be okay for one night. I'm sure you have someone you can call. Call one of the guys. All of their ladies were on this trip. Call one of the guys to come help you. It was so sad because Nia was just telling the ladies that she's not feeling okay and that she's depressed. I mean, she hosted the damn trip. And then her husband calls her and asks her to come home. That did not sit right with me, and I'm sure it didn't sit right with him either when he saw the episode. I mean, let the woman have one night. Fuck. Y'all, what the fuck happened in Dubai? It rained for fucking days in Dubai, going down as the heaviest recorded rainfall to ever hit the UAE. I mean, it was coming the fuck down. Planes couldn't get out. The streets were flooding. And Dubai is in the damn desert. Dubai's infrastructure is not built for this. And now I'm hearing things about cloud seeding, which sounds unnatural, and like, why are we messing with the weather? I know Tennessee banned it, but Tennessee is really not known for making sound legislative decisions. I mean, have you seen what's going on there? It's horrible. But the rain in Dubai was absolutely nuts. And people were like, this is the end. The world is ending. This is the sign of the end of the times. And millennials are like, is this it? Should we pay our bills or should we go balls to the wall? You know, we've been told all our life that the world is ending and that all of these events happening our entire life were the end of times. We had Y2K, 9/11, the 2008 financial crisis, the pandemic, government shutdowns threaten nearly every year. And now it feels like we are on the brink of World War III every day. So when major shit starts to happen, I feel like millennials are like, okay, is this it? And for some reason, toilet paper is always purchased. All of these events are supposed to be like once in a lifetime stuff, and it's just our normal. Oh my God, I just realized that I forgot to tell you the main reason that this episode is so late. Your girl finally launched her brand. It's called LP Rich, and you can follow at LP Rich Bitch on Instagram to find out more. That is a fucking wrap today, y'all. Be sure to follow me on social media at Lindsay_Sobel and also follow at The Rich Room Podcast. Send your questions in for a segment of Listen Linda to therichroompodcast@gmail.com. Oh my God. Also, a few episodes back, I said that Thailand had an earthquake and it was actually Taiwan. I'll do better. Oh, one more thing. I actually did do my spending audit. We will go over it next time and pick a budget format. Bye, bitches.